Hello, beauties. Welcome to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. I'm your host, Kim Billick. I'm a women's empowerment and sexual health coach, Reiki master, yoga therapist, and occupational therapist. This podcast is going to be raw and juicy. And yes, we'll be talking about all things women's health uncensored. We'll be talking about periods, hormone health, sex, pleasure, pregnancies, all those things that may be going on down there that are making you feel uncomfortable. Anything that you may be feeling scared or ashamed to talk to your doctor about, your partner, your girlfriend, let's just consider this podcast Real Girl Talk. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at @KimBillick_ or my website www.amala-living.com.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back to Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health Uncensored. So I want to start today with saying happy PCOS Awareness Month. And yes, I get it. It is the end of September and the end of Awareness Month, but the perfect time to have this episode because we need to continue on with this awareness into October, November, and really all year round. PCOS is such a prevalent thing in us women. They say 1 in 10 women have PCOS. So think of the women in your life. I mean, I know of at least 4 people in my life, and this is in my personal life outside of clients, that have PCOS. And when you think in your life, I'm sure you could probably think of 1 or 2 women. And this is why it is important to create this awareness. And out of this, out of the women that have it, or maybe out of the women that don't even know they have it, because they say up to 50% of women aren't properly diagnosed, or it just takes years and years for them to get properly diagnosed. They go into the doctor with complaint of acne, irregular periods, maybe bloating, whatever it may be, one of the many symptoms of PCOS, and it kind of just gets brushed off. Oh, it's part of being a woman. Go on birth control, it's in your head, whatever you may have heard or have been told yourself personally. And because of this, it just gets brushed under the carpet. So even more of a reason to create awareness so that we know if these symptoms start showing up, that we could press our doctor, our healthcare providers and be like, no, we need more testing and I really want to rule this out. So out of the women that have been diagnosed or maybe not even quite diagnosed, a common thing I hear so often is, here, just go on birth control to manage your symptoms of mood swings, acne, pelvic pain, irregular periods, maybe missing periods, depression, anxiety, whatever it may be, like just have the birth control. But first, actually, before I get into that, I do want to say no judgment if you are on birth control. I am all about pro-choice. Whatever feels good for you in your body, then that is your decision. But with this pro-choice, I truly, truly believe that you need to have the information to make an educational choice, which is best for you. So a lot of times, you know, you just get pushed the pill, have the pill, and no questions are asked, and you just don't know the difference. But there's so many side effects to the pill, actually. And in regards to the conversation that I'm having here today, I want you to stop and think. If I were to take the pill for my PCOS symptoms, is it really going to get to the root cause of these symptoms? And the answer in most cases is no. Yes, it may regulate your period. Yes, you know, may manage your acne. But what's going to happen when you stop taking it, especially if you might be in your early 30s, not trying to get pregnant now, but you know, maybe in a couple years time, you meet your king, or maybe you're with your king already and you want to have a child, you're going to go off birth control and these symptoms may come back like a floodgate being opened. And this did happen to me. I was on birth control at the age of 15 for my acne, and I tried to go off it around age 22. And my acne was out of control that I went right back on it. And then finally, you're at 25, just birth control is no longer agreeing with me. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have never went on birth control for my acne. But at 25, when I finally went off with it, I just had to deal with my acne being really bad, work on my gut health, and just go through the process and the liver detox and all the things to regulate my body once again after being off this birth control. So just coming back to that question, is the birth control going to address the root problem, the root cause of these symptoms? So another thing I want to talk about in regards to the birth control is, yes, they say it's going to balance your hormones to, you know, manage your symptoms, but it's not really balancing your hormones. Us as women, we are not linear, and our hormones have ebbs and flow throughout the month. Our month, our cycles, not just our bleed, it is all month. So our estrogen, our testosterone, our progesterone's meant to go up and down throughout the month as we move through our cycle. But what happens when we are on the pill is basically our hormones get flatlined, like a straight flat line. Think of a heart rate monitor. And with that also comes no ovulation. Yes, you get your bleed, but it is a breakthrough bleed when you go off the pill. So it's not really a normal menstrual bleed that you would get if you were off the pill. So just have a little think about that. And when it comes to managing your symptoms of PCOS, you want to have control of the symptoms. You don't want the symptoms to have control of you. So a few things you really that you need to think about here is there are more than one type of PCOS. And with each type, different symptoms may come up. So the types are insulin resistant, inflammatory, adrenal fatigue, and thyroid. And so for example, with inflammatory type, you may have more acne, more bloating. With adrenal fatigue type, you might have more fatigue, mood swings, anxiety, maybe depression. And you could have more than one of these types. So depending on your symptoms, and this is where it is really great to have a naturopathic doctor, a coach, a hormone coach that, you know, specializes in this area, or even just your gynecologist that is supportive of looking at a holistic approach instead of pushing the pill. So looking at these different types, looking at what symptoms are coming up, and through this, then you could manage it with natural practices through diet, stress management, exercise, lifestyle change. And I'm going to get into all that. And I just really want to stress this. Every woman is different, and every woman is going to have their own thing that's going to work for their body. So if there is some Instagram influencer that's saying do A, B, C, and D, that may not work for you. If your friend's saying this, that she does A, B, C, and D, that may not work for you. Yes, you know, listen, learn, try these things out, but it could be a little bit of trial and error. So another thing I quickly want to talk about before I get into the natural practices to help manage your PCOS symptoms is understanding that PCOS is a complex inflammatory disorder. And with this, two of the main things is managing your insulin, because a lot of women with PCOS are insulin resistant. And the job of the insulin is to grab that sugar from your bloodstream and push it into your cells to either be used as energy or stored as fat. The other thing that could happen with high insulin levels and high LH is that the ovaries end up producing more testosterone and less estradiol. And as women, for a healthy cycle and for ovulation, we do need higher levels of estradiol. The other thing that could happen with high insulin is that it causes the liver to make less of sex hormone binding globulin, also known as SHBG. When we have lower levels of SHBG, what happens is testosterone levels are higher. And the reason being is the job of SHBG is to bind to testosterone. But when the levels are low, obviously there's not as much binding and testosterone just continues to float through the body, which could lead to some of these symptoms that happens with PCOS. So this is just a little bit of the science, if you want to say, if you haven't heard it before. I didn't want to get into it in too much detail, but now I want to talk about the meaty stuff, the juicy stuff of how can I manage my PCOS naturally without having to worry about being on birth control. So to help with this insulin resistance and your blood sugar levels, a huge, huge part is diet. Now I'm going to stress this one more time. Every woman is a little different. So everything that I'm sharing here, just learn, listen, and give it a try. And like I said, it may work for you. It may not. You may have to do some tweaks to get it to work for you. But these are suggestions and see where it takes you. So in regards to the diet, because PCOS is an inflammatory disorder, you want to try manage your inflammation. So trying to cut out gluten and dairy are two huge, huge things. There are other anti-inflammatory foods that are very common. Things like soy, peanuts can be for some people, alcohol, coffee. What else? I know. Oh, artificial sweeteners. Those are definitely things that could cause inflammation. But two of the big things are gluten and dairy. And then, of course, you also want to manage your blood sugar. So with blood sugar, obviously cutting out sugar, but then there's also what are you eating? So for your meals, having even your snacks, having protein, fats, and fiber with all your meals. For example, even if it's for a snack, instead of just having, say, rice cakes or an apple, having your apple with some almond butter on it. So at least you're getting a little bit of fat and a little bit of protein with that. And then you have your fiber of your apple and then your carbs that are also in the apple. So really managing that stuff. Try not to skip meals is very important as well, because that could throw your blood sugar off. And just a quick side note, ways to know that your blood sugar levels may be off is if you're waking up between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, if you get hangry, if you're getting that brain fog, or you're hitting that afternoon wall and you're super fatigued, those are definitely all signs of imbalanced blood sugar levels. So just those are things to keep in mind. With the diet also comes supplements. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before, but you can't out supplement a poor diet. So remember, supplements there are to support your body, but eating a healthy diet is really important as well. So a couple supplements that are great to help manage your PCOS is omega-3s. They help with decreasing your androgens, which is tied to your testosterone, vitamin D, and with your vitamin D, of course, going outside for 10 to 20 minutes a day and just getting that natural vitamin D. Inositol, it is linked to your insulin resistance and regular cycles. It also helps with decreasing androgen levels, and it also helps with ovulation. So if you're trying to get pregnant, definitely one that you want to add in. Zinc is great. It's good for your immune system. It helps with your hair loss. It helps with the hair that's growing in unwanted places. It also helps with your blood sugar as well. Magnesium. Magnesium is such a common nutrient that's actually deficient in many people. And it's good for helping with your blood sugar levels, your sleep. It could help also with your digestion. So I usually recommend to take it at night, and then it keeps you regular into the morning. And it also could help with your PMS symptoms, such as headaches and pelvic pain. So just remembering, you have these options with your supplements. And if you're unsure what is good for you, how much you should be taking, of course, checking with your doctor, your holistic practitioner, your coach, someone that can help you guide you through this. Now let's talk exercise. Yes, I understand with PCOS, a lot of times weight management is difficult, whether you are gaining weight or you're trying to lose weight and you just can't lose the weight. Well, a lot of times doing more exercise is not going to be the solution. And this may make some of you happy because you're at the gym just trying to crush the weights, doing the interval training, all the things, and you're going, why the hell can I not lose any weight? Well, you know what, sister? Slow down and maybe just take it easy. What happens is, like I said, PCOS is tied in with inflammation. And if you are doing hard, intense exercise day in, day out, your body recognizes that as stress. Even though there's so many good benefits to exercise, it's still stress on the body. So if it's registering it as stress, cortisol levels go up, inflammation goes up, and it becomes a cycle. So a thing I like to say a lot of times is really checking in, how do I feel after my workouts? Am I completely exhausted? How do I feel 2 hours after my workouts? Am I still completely exhausted? And how do I feel the next day? If you are constantly feeling tired, exhausted, fatigued, all the things, there's a good indication that you are exercising too hard, and especially if you're not losing weight. So try scaling back. You know, you could still do resistance training, but it doesn't have to be HIIT. Go for hikes. Being in nature is really soothing, helps us connect to our feminine energy. Just being outside, you're getting your natural sunlight. Maybe doing a yoga class, Pilates, just slowing it down and not doing such intense workouts. And I think just going for a walk is so underestimated. You know, instead of going for that hour run or 45 minute run, try going for a 45 minute walk. Put in a podcast, put on your favorite songs, and just go for a good brisk walk. Now, another thing is sleep. Sleep, poor sleep, is also tied into inflammation. So, and also managing your blood sugar and insulin, of course. So with your sleep, creating a good bedtime routine, try not to go to bed too late. By 10 o'clock is ideal. And I don't want to be a complete hypocrite. I even have a hard time getting to bed a lot of nights before 10. For me, it's usually around 10:30. But doing your best to get into bed by 10. And maybe if you're not quite sleeping, maybe it's reading a book, doing some meditation, but really powering down from your day and not doing work, not having the blue lights on, blue lights as in your phone, the TV, computer screen. And if you still need to have the blue lights on, maybe trying to invest in some blue light glasses. So the blue light can impact our sleep. And of course, like I've already said, could impact our insulin levels and also inflammation if you're not getting good sleep, because it's stress on the body. And goes back to the supplements. This is also why I often say it is good to take magnesium before bed, because it will help you fall asleep sooner and stay sleeping throughout the night. So getting from the sleep is also tied into stress management. If you are not sleeping well and you are not rested, more than likely you're not as focused, you're feeling run down, and the stress could go up. But stress could show up in so many ways in our life, from relationships to work to too much exercise, like I've already talked about, poor diet, where you live. I live here in Los Angeles, so I'm dealing with environmental stresses compared to someone that may live out in the country, like even just the pollution here in LA compared to someone out in the country. So there's so many stresses, and it's great to just sit back and reflect on what kind of stresses you have in your life and what could you eliminate of these stressors in your life. And from that is then managing your stress. Journaling is great. Having a gratitude journal, instead of having your to-do list and thinking, oh my God, I have 50 things to do today. Having a success list and picking 3 to 5 things. I do my success list the night before. So the next day when I wake up, I know what my focus is going to be. And literally as I check each thing off the list, I'm doing a little celebration. And when I complete them all, I do another bigger celebration. And if I have energy and or time, then maybe I will do a few other things. So that could help. So you're not feeling so overwhelmed, like your plate is so full. With your stress management, meditation is great. Like I said, with the exercise, being out in nature, surrounding yourself with people that are supportive, that aren't toxic as in gossiping all the time, that elevate you and maybe even push you, but push you in a good way to grow. Stress management is also being open to ask for help and receiving. I know that is a big thing for a lot of women, and it's something I'm still working on myself, is receiving and being okay for asking for help. So if that's going to eliminate some stress in your life, something as simple as your children maybe washing the dishes, or you know, throwing in a load of laundry, or asking a coworker to help with something, do it. The worst thing that's going to happen is someone is going to say no, but unless you ask, you just aren't going to know. And further, more into the stresses is oxidative stress. So what is oxidative stress? It is the imbalance of free radicals and antioxidants, which are super good for the immune system. So if the free radicals are higher than the antioxidants, what could happen is you have damage to the cells and the tissues in your body, which leads to inflammation. Are you getting a theme of this podcast right now? A lot is tied to inflammation. We want to keep that down in our body so we could help manage our symptoms. So what are some things that cause oxidative stress in our bodies? Smoking, pollution, alcohol, rancid vegetable oils. So oils that I often suggest is coconut oil. And I know not everyone loves coconut oil, but even avocado oil. So your good, healthy fats, pesticides, chemicals. And I think this is a really important one, because us women, we use so many beauty products, whether it is makeup, nail polish, our soaps, our perfumes, our house cleaners. And this often gets forgotten about, but our pads or tampons, looking at the labels and trying to get organic, because there are so many chemicals and pesticides that could be in all of those products that could actually cause oxidative stress and inflammation in the body. And so with that, managing of oxidative stress is increasing your antioxidants. So this goes back to our diet. Antioxidants are berries, are green veggies, keeping our immune system up with that. Having high fibers, I already spoke to that, and staying hydrated, having a good sweat, whether it is through exercise, a hot yoga class, maybe going into a sauna. If you live somewhere hot, it could even be just sitting outside. You could get a good detox. So as you could see, there are many options, many ways that you can manage your PCOS, manage your oxidative stress through natural ways. And if you are feeling overwhelmed and you're listening to this and you're still like, I don't even know where to start, because there is the nitty gritty, even with diet. You know, I went over having high fiber and adding protein and adding fats into your diet, but you still might be thinking, okay, well, what is that, right? And that's where, yes, you got Dr. Google, but Dr. Google could also get a little confusing. But that is where it is important and very beneficial to have a coach and have someone by your side to support you, and not even just support you, but holding you accountable. I've had coaches from, you know, when I was doing competing as a bikini competitor, as a business coach, moving through some healing. I've had a coach nonstop since early 2020, and I probably will continue having coaches for different reasons, because it really is empowering, and it's just good to have someone hold a mirror up for you, have the support, provide you information. So if you are feeling, okay, well, I listened to this, I have some symptoms, or I've already been diagnosed, I don't want to be on the pill, but I do want that support, you can find me on Instagram at kimbillick_, or you can find me on my website at www.amala-living.com. And I just want to stress this one more time, that every woman's journey is different, and no healing or managing of your PCOS symptoms is like somebody else. So through my programming, I use the things that I went over today. I also do some energy stuff. I am a Reiki master. I'm also a yoga therapist, so I do like to add in different meditations and breath work. Sometimes I even give light sequences, yoga sequences, as part of your exercise program. to help you. And we just gauge this on how you're feeling. And like I said, at the very beginning, it can be trial and error. It is you learning your body. And as you really tune into how you're feeling, how you react, you know, at the beginning, I mentioned how soy could cause inflammation for some women. It doesn't cause inflammation for everybody, but it does cause inflammation for me, I will admit. If I have too much of it, I feel it. My tongue gets swollen and I start to feel bloated. So it's just really tuning into these little signs and symptoms and signals that our body's giving us that we often ignore. So when you're given a program, when you're given these things to really look at, this is when they show up. So if you have any questions, please, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I look forward to connecting with all of you again next week. Have a wonderful week, ladies.